Did you find Matthew chapter 7? And I want to look at verse 7. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and it shall, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8, "And everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son would ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" All right, now back in verse 7, again it says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you." Now, these are the words of Jesus. Amen. They're in red. But Jesus said that. I love to read the words of Jesus. Now, the whole Bible, of course, is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. The written Word is what we call the Logos. You've heard that word before, maybe, which means written Word. And so this is the written Word. But there's more meaning to the word Logos than just words on paper. It's communicated thought. This is the written word of God, but it is God spoken. He spoke these words to the people that wrote them down. Amen. I mean, it was like they're taking dictation from the Holy Spirit. How else could it be so accurate? How else could it be with no mistakes? See, this is the written word which was spoken by a real voice. Amen. So this is why it's so important for us to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God every day, because the answer to all of our problems are in this book called the Bible. And if you can't find a specific promise for your need, His voice is here. See, when you're reading the Bible on a regular basis, you begin to recognize the voice that is in His Word. And that's all we need to know, is His voice. See, the only thing that you and I ever need to know is, what do I do now? What do I do next? Amen? Oh, I was going to say too, brother, how much I enjoyed your announcements today. You know, if we have a guy like that making announcements, you're happy to hear the announcements. Solomon had a hankering for the foreign women, huh? took me out of the spirit for a moment, but I got back. I got back in real quick. So the Word of God is important. Now it says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you." Now, "shall" is a very powerful word, very strong word. Now, you and I don't use "shall" too often because it's sort of an old-fashioned word. But I decided to look up the word "shall." And let me tell you what "shall" means. It even says it's archaic, but it means must. You must. So it also means, they use it in writing of laws because it's a mandatory term. In other words, it shall be unlawful for you to take drugs. See, it's a very forceful word, "shall." In other words, it's not, you know, maybe, but it's going to happen. We shall. If we ask, it shall be given to us. It's also used to express what is inevitable. In other words, sort of like, well, we shall see, you know. So it carries a strong connotation. So if Jesus said, if we ask, we shall receive, so are we receiving? You know, sometimes we as Christians have a difficult receiving what the Bible says we should receive. You know, Jesus hung on the cross, and of course, because of that, we're forgiven of all of our sins. But by His stripes, which He took before He was on the cross, we are healed. Amen. You know, healing is a promise. You know, being blessed financially is a promise. Being prosperous is a promise in the Word of God. You know, somebody was talking about Solomon. Was you talking about Solomon? Oh, you were talking about Solomon. Yeah. Well, he had the best chariot that you could ever imagine. But you know what? You and I are driving something better than he had. Amen? Amen? You know, we can go a lot faster. You know, we have heat in the winter, air conditioning in the summer. So we're riding around in something better than Solomon had. And we're moving up. Amen? See, we are blessed. But again, sometimes we have a little bit of difficulty receiving the things that belong to us, even though we know they belong to us. How many of you can say amen to that? Or am I the only one? So I think it has something to do with the word ask here. And we have to be asking God for the things in the proper way. Now, I also looked up the word ask. And you won't believe this. In the Greek language, there are 9 words. 9 different Greek words that have been translated into English, the English word ask. So, you know, this language, the Greek language which the New Testament was written in, is a very precise language. So when Jesus said to ask, when he told us, ask and we shall receive, he wasn't talking about, you know, like we think asking for a favor. That's not what he was talking about. We use the word like, I want to ask a question. That's not what he was talking about. You see, the word that was used here was a specific word, which means it is strictly a demand for something that is due. Or in other words, something that belongs to you. Now, how many of you keep your money in a checking account, or at least some of your money? Everybody use a checking account? Almost all of us have a checking account. And when we write a check, you see, that is a demand on something that belongs to us, right? If you walk into a bank, you can actually get your money. You can go up to the teller and you might say, ask for your money. But you're not asking for permission to get your money. See, it's your money. See, you put a demand on something that belongs to you. I was talking about this not too long ago in one of our life groups, and one of the ladies said, she says, you know what? She says, the money that a bank keeps in cash at the bank, the money they have on cash there for people that come in and want some money in cash, it's called money on demand. So what Jesus is talking about here is putting a demand on something that belongs to you. Now, my wife and I, well, we lived in Tulsa. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, the same school that Pastor Joel went to. I was a few years earlier than him. Just a few. I graduated in 80, and you said you was 87. So, you know, kind of in the same decade. But I had a part-time job, and I got my paycheck on Friday, and this was, if I remember correctly, it was $300 and something. And, you know, I put it in my checking account in bank in Tulsa there. And so a few days later, I get the check sent back to me in the mail, and it was marked non-sufficient funds. Anybody else remember those days? You know, we didn't have all the technical way of doing things. You know, all banking now, we do all our banking online now. But when the check didn't clear, they actually would send it back to you. So it didn't clear. My employer wrote that check as my wages for that week, and it doesn't clear the bank. But that's a promise to me. That check to me is a promise. So I called up the bank and asked them, is there money in that account now so that I could come and cash this check? And the lady on the phone says, yes, there's money in the account. So we put our two little kids in the car, and my wife and I, we drove all the way over to this bank. Now, Tulsa's a big city. And I don't remember exactly how long it took us to get to the bank, but it was something like 45 minutes. We drove 45 minutes to get to this bank. And this was back in the days when the banks would usually close about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How many of you remember those days? They closed early in those days. And it was just the beginning of the days when they started having a drive-up window, you know, drive-up banking. So we get there and the bank's closed. So I come into the drive-up window. There's only one lane at the drive-up window. It's just something new in those days. So I told the lady, I said, I called in and I was informed that there's money in this account now to cash this check, so I would like to cash a check. So she took the check and disappeared for a few minutes and came back and she says, well, I'm sorry, I can't cash this check for you right now. I said, what do you mean you can't cash a check? I called in earlier, and I was told that there's money in this account that you can cash the check now. And she said, yes, but it has to be authorized by a bank officer. And I don't have a bank officer in the bank right now. And I said, well, and she told me, well, come back in, what, an hour or something like that, or come back later. And I'm thinking, you know, I drove all this way. This was on a busy day with kids in the car. And now she's telling me I can't have my money. And I said, well, when will there be somebody in the bank? And she said, well, maybe in an hour. I said, I will wait. And I turned off the car. It's a true story, right? I'll wait. One window. Now, cars are beginning to come behind me. So she looked at me, took the check, disappeared for about, 5 minutes, maybe less. She came back and gave me my money. Amen. So now here's the thing. I wasn't demanding her to do anything. I was nice to her. See, I wasn't putting a demand on her, but I was putting a demand on something that belonged to me. That was my money in his account. And so, you know, we got the money. And so this is really what Jesus is talking about here. This asking is just not asking for a favor. It's asking for something that belongs to you. In other words, what belongs to you according to the Word of God. And that's always based on the promises of God. See, the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. It says, if you ask for anything according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, what? Then what you had, the petitions that you asked, you will have. See, now, of course, we can't just ask for anything in the world. I mean, we're talking about asking for something that is due. Asking for something that Jesus has already provided for us. You know, God has provided everything for us. Everything we need is in this word. Let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 1 for just a second. How many of you got your Bibles this morning? Bring your Bible to church. You can bring your device, I guess, but you know. I still bring the Bible, the written word of God, you know, in book form. See, the thing is, if you're looking at your device, and of course you can get the Bible on your device, but you know, if all of a sudden you get this little notification from Facebook, most of you are going to check that out, see how many likes you have. And see, then you're going to miss what the pastor says, because you're checking your Facebook. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, you see there, grace and peace multiplied through what? Knowledge. And the knowledge comes from the Word of God. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everybody repeat after me. All things.
All things.
What does all mean? All. All means all. I know you're not supposed to use the word to define a word, but what else can we say about all? Everything. Total. Given us all things. You need a toothbrush, it's provided for you. Even little things. It's been provided. Now, we appropriate these things by faith, but it must be based on a promise. He says, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we're not talking just about spiritual things. Life and godliness. See, life and godliness is just a real things here, life. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to virtue and glory, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these what? These promises. The exceeding great and precious promises. By these promises, then, you will be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, so it's through the promises. This is a book of promises. Now we find out what the promise is, then we can appropriate the promise. We can put pressure on what is due us. Now we've all been attacked with sickness, most of us have, but sometimes you just have to stand on the word, by Jesus stripes you're healed, and put pressure on that promise. Now God's willing to give it, but you know, it's according to our faith. But there's so many promises in the Word of God. Now I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3. And just read some things out of Galatians chapter 3. And I need a young helper. So this young man here is volunteering to help me. What's your name?
Sawyer.
Huh?
Sawyer.
Okay, you stand right here beside me. Now I'm going to read out of Galatians. And all I want you to do is every time I read the word promise, you count it. We're going to count how many times it says promise. Okay. Starting at verse, let's see. I'll start at verse 13. I love this verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises. How many have we got so far? I knew you could count. And he said not add and to and he said not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to the seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot be disannulled, that it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 18 now, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. If the law then, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, and we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And how many we got so far?
Seven?
Eight?
Yeah, eight. That's what I meant, eight.
You meant eight.
Yeah.
I knew he could count. There's one more in here somewhere, because I'm pretty sure there's nine. Okay, down the very last verse. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Very good job. In one chapter in the Bible, the word promise or promises is mentioned nine times. So we need to learn the promises of God. See, the Bible says about Abraham, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, what God has promised, he is fully able to perform. See, the promise. So if you have a promise in the Word of God, then God's going to do it. See, if we ask, we shall receive. Amen. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, I got to take you over to Mark chapter 11. Hopefully you're familiar with this. Now, this, I tell you, this is a spirit-filled church. I love the spirit here. If I lived in Custer, I'd come to this church. Spirit of God is moving in this church. Good spirit here. And this is a faith church. You know, Pastor Joel went to the same school I went to, Rhema Bible Training Center, and it was the word of faith was taught to us. You know, we have the word. We have so much word. We need to be walking in divine health. We need to be walking in the prosperity that God has for us. See, we need to be walking in the power he has for us. You see, we are witnesses in the world. So we need to witness to people with the power. But, you know, they need to see that we're blessed. You know, one of the reasons I didn't become a Christian sooner than I did was because I looked at the churches and I thought, I don't want to be like them. You know, they don't even look like they're having any fun. So I kind of avoided church for many years. Wasn't raised in church, wasn't raised in a Christian family. I was raised, you know, in a non-Christian family. My dad left our family when I was 9 years old. I'm the youngest out of five children, so my mom had kind of a struggle. Huh? Oh, I'm the oldest.
Aren't you glad that that's on tape?
What am I thinking? I think young. So my mom kind of struggled, but she didn't know the Lord. And so I was invited to speak at a youth group in Argentina one time. And it was a pretty good-sized youth group. And these kids were on fire for the Lord. But some of them were from non-Christian families, and they were being persecuted by their own families. And so I got to share with them. And I said, you know, I was raised in a non-Christian family. I said, you know, my dad leaving and all that. And I said, I was raised by a sinner, which was true. My mom was a good sinner. We kids were good sinners. But thank God my wife got saved and started praying for me. So it wasn't too long, and I had gotten saved as a child, but I walked away from the Lord, you know, didn't stay in church, and, you know, lived a very worldly lifestyle. But she got saved, and it was only a matter of time, and now here we are today. Thank God. Yeah. But anyway, we need to be a strong witness. Now, it's not in our own strength, though. We don't go in our own strength and our own power. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Pastor was telling me about the missions trip that you got coming up, and I'm going to buy a T-shirt on the way out. Nicaragua is the neighbor of Honduras, where we lived for 5 years. And some of you went to Nicaragua before during the One Nation One Day. Anybody here that was a part of that One Nation One Day or was there during that time? Amen. Well, the One Nation One Day started in Honduras. And it was started by a man that I met in Peru and found out he went to the same church that I was a part of in Honduras. It didn't start by him. The man that had the vision for it was a young evangelist named Dominic Russo. But this man is his administrator, right from Honduras. But the first one was in July of 2013 in Honduras. And what they do is they have simultaneous crusades going on in all of their departments. A department for them is like our state. In Honduras, there's 18 states or 18 departments. It's a huge undertaking just to organize this thing. But this man that's part of the church in Honduras that we were a part of is the man that coordinates all that. So the first one was in Honduras. The second one was in the Dominican Republic, I think a couple years after that first one. And then the third one was in Nicaragua, where you all were. And the fourth one, Dominican Republic and then Nicaragua. And then the next one is going to be in Peru. So, you know, you're part of a big move to get the word to the world. I mean, can you imagine that? Simultaneous crusades going on all over a country. And it's changed Honduras. It really has. You know, in order for them to do that in Honduras, because they use soccer stadiums, they used military field. In our town, the military field is where the crusade was. And they estimated there was over 60,000 people in this field. It was standing room only in the field. These people came early and stood for 2 hours or 3 hours. It was just powerful. We saw at least one person raised up out of a wheelchair and multiple healings and so on like that. But there was healing going on all over that country. Well, I don't know how much influence that had on what I'm going to tell you now, but there was another president elected about that time. And after he was in office for a while, he made a declaration that in this country, the Word of God will be read in the public schools, every public school, for at least 5 minutes a day. In the public schools. So, you know, you go into a country like Honduras and you can just sense there's something different. It's a good atmosphere there. I like to walk for exercise, so I walk around the central area of the city there. It's kind of a small area, but I mean lots of stores, outside vendors and things like that. But very common to hear loud Christian music playing. I've seen several times people reading their Bibles in the stores right there on the sidewalks and stuff. So God is doing a work. You know, and not only that, Honduras is such a small country, but it's the exact center of the Western Hemisphere. Could there be a better place for the revival, the awakening to take place and spread? And Honduras is just a small country. I like to tell people, you can take the size of Honduras and put it in Montana 3.5 times. They have 8 million people. We have just barely 1 million people in Montana. But then just to keep your perspective, you could take that little country of Israel and put it in Honduras 3 times. Honduras has about 10 or 12 million. Israel has about 10 or 12 million people. But all this fighting, all this things going on in the world, it's about that little tiny country called Israel. But Honduras, you know, things are happening and revival or awakening, whatever you want to call it, is spreading. For those of you going to Nicaragua, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to see even a greater degree of that when you go this time. Anyway, did you find Mark 11? Now we're talking about the words of Jesus. He said, ask and you shall. No question about it. Not maybe. See, but again, it is receiving or asking what you're putting the demand on that promise that belongs to you. Now, of course, Jesus taught on faith here in Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 22. But you know the story. You know, Jesus walked by the fig tree the day before, and he went over and looked at this fig tree, and there wasn't any fruit on the fig tree. So how many of you remember what he did? He cursed the fig tree. He said, no man will eat fruit from you hereafter forever. Curse the tree. And I used to think, why did Jesus curse a perfectly good tree? You know, why did he do that? So I did a little study on fig trees. It wasn't a good tree. You see, when the leaves were there, there were leaves there apparently, but there was no fruit. See, the fruit should have been there because the leaves were there, but the fruit wasn't there, so it was a worthless tree. So Jesus cursed it. And then the next day, they were walking by, and the disciples noticed that it was dying from the roots. And, you know, sometimes the roots of a tree can be seen above the ground, and that dry soil is very common. So the tree was cursed, and they were really amazed at what happened. Jesus spoke to the tree, and it died. Amen. You know, he spoke to things, spoke to dead people, and they came alive. Anyway, Jesus answered, said unto them, verse 22, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. And actually, one translation has, have the faith of God in you, which here's good news. You do have the faith of God in you. It tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12 that to all of us has been given the measure of faith. See, when you received Jesus, it was deposited in your spirit, the measure of faith. So you have faith. But it's a small measure. You have to cause it to grow. And you're the only one that could cause it to grow. Just like, you know, in the natural realm, I mean, we are born into this world as a baby. But in order for us to grow, we have to eat. And of course, as a baby, as a young child, it's the responsibility of the parents to feed us. And if they feed us, we're going to grow. Now, the thing is, if we don't grow, then something's wrong. Now, eventually, the child gets big enough to where the child feeds himself, and eventually they leave home, and it becomes the responsibility of the child to feed himself. Amen? Amen. You all know how to eat. We have to eat. Nobody's going to make you eat. But you eat. See, it's your responsibility to eat, and hopefully, you know, healthy stuff, which is difficult. But nobody's going to make you eat. In the realm of the spirit, we start out with that small measure. We're a baby Christian, but we have to grow, and nobody's going to make us grow. God's not going to make us grow. We have to grow. How do we grow? By the word of God, by eating the word. Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. You know, so to eat me, he says. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Of course, that's in the realm of the spirit. But, you know, it is up to us to grow. And the only way we're going to grow spiritually, and that measure of faith is going to grow, is by feeding on the Word and coming to a great church like this. But this is your feeding. But once a week's not enough. You got to get into the Word yourself. You say, well, I don't understand the Word. Well, isn't that amazing? God gave you something you couldn't understand. God's not doing it. You can understand it. You just need to take some time thinking about what it says. Meditating in it. See, meditating in the Word just means thinking on purpose about it. You know, read it, think about it. And, you know, you're not going to understand everything right away. I don't understand everything. But, you know, when you're thinking about the Word, reading the Word of God, reading it slowly, thinking about what you read, thinking about, you know, meditating on it, you get revelation. It feeds your spirit. And you begin to know what God wants you to do. See, God has a plan for every one of us. You know, like Pastor said, I'm a minister. I'm called to the ministry. But not everybody's called to full-time ministry. But everybody is a minister. Everybody is an ambassador of God. God has a plan for every single person. You know, when I was talking to that youth group in Argentina, I said, you know what? Because they were having a rough time in their families. And sometimes kids, you know, get upset with their parents, wish they could have been born in another family or whatever. But here's the thing. It tells us in the book of Ephesians that we were called out in Him before the foundation of the world. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus as the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb before the foundation of the world. See, in the mind of God, the plan was already made in His mind. So the only reason, I told these kids, the only reason you're here is because your mom and your dad got together. You would not have been born into any other family because God already had the plan. See, and that's why, I mean, you know, this is kind of a silly thought, but I used to think, why didn't God just kill Adam and Eve? Two people that sinned. Send them to hell. Start all over. Maybe so many people wouldn't go to hell. You know, thousands and thousands of people going to hell nowadays, you know. So why didn't He just start over? Kill Adam and Eve. Only two people be in hell. So I thought about that and meditated on that for a while. And, of course, what came to me is this. Well, first of all, God could not have made a more perfect man. Adam was a perfect man. In the image, the exact image and likeness of God. He was so close to God. I mean, he was in God's image and likeness, completely like God, but not God. That was his problem. He wanted to be like God without God. So God couldn't have made a better man. If he would have made another man, the new man probably would have done the same thing. But the real reason that God did not kill Adam is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, you and I were already in Adam. If he would have killed Adam, you and I wouldn't be here. Or if one of your parents would have died before you were born, you wouldn't be here. Because it's in the plan already. So if God is that precise, then you know he's got a plan for you. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, he has a plan for you. How are you going to find out that plan? Well, you're doing the right thing now, coming to church and sitting under this ministry. But get into the Word of God. Read it. Get familiar with His voice. So when you do ask for something, you know you have it. Okay, Mark 11, 23. Again, these are the words of Jesus. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, you all know by now it's important what you say. Therefore, and that means therefore, because you believe what you say, not doubt in your heart. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I know that you already know that sometimes when we pray for something, we don't see the manifestation right away. We all know that. Amen? But we need to know what to do in the meantime. See, there's a time when we pray and we believe we receive, but sometime there's a period of time before we see the manifestation. I like to call that the meantime. Well, in the meantime, you don't get mean. You don't throw it away saying this stuff doesn't work. So, what do we do? See, when we ask, we receive. Now, this verse, verse 23 says, therefore, when you pray, believe. Now, when you pray is what tense? Present, past, present, or future? Present tense. So when you pray is now. So you go to the Lord and pray about something, and you believe it's now. You receive it now. But you may not see the manifestation. Abraham, you know, he trusted God. He believed God. But it took a number of years before the promise was fulfilled. But let me put it this way. If I had a 12-year-old daughter, which I did at one time, she's, you know, in her 40s now. We got a grandchild that's 20. And I look so young. I know, you're saying, how can that be? Well, I think young, for one thing. I may not look that young, but before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, but there's one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 103, where David is writing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who gives, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. We're all aging, but I believe we can stay young. You know, I'm 69 years old. I've never taken prescription medication. I'm not on anything. Don't go to doctors. Now, I'm all in favor of doctors, but I haven't been to a doctor in many, many years, with the one exception in Honduras, which I'm not going to tell you about. That was a mistake. But God's keeping us healthy. But we're challenged like everybody else. Got to put pressure on those promises. All right, so my daughter's 12 years old. She comes to me on Monday and says, Dad, will you buy me a dress? I really need a new dress. Sure, honey, I'll buy you a new dress, but I can't do it today. I'm going to buy it on Saturday. This is Monday. So she said, oh, thank you, Dad. So now, Tuesday, she comes back and said, Dad, do you think you could buy me a dress? I really, really, really need a dress. Well, honey, I told you I'm going to buy you a dress on Saturday. Now it's Wednesday. She comes back to me again. Say, Dad, I really, really need a dress. Would you please, please buy me a dress? Honey, didn't I tell you I'm going to buy you the dress on Saturday? Now it's Thursday. Guess what? She's coming back again. Dad, could you please, please buy me a dress? I'll be a good girl. I'll go to church every Sunday if you'll just please, please do this for me. And see, now this is Thursday, and I'm thinking, is she's a little crazy or something? I'm beginning to get angry. Now Friday, or getting a little bit upset with that, you know. So now it's Friday. And believe it or not, she's coming back again. Dad, please, please, I really need the dress. Now I am getting angry. You know why? Because she doesn't believe my word that I gave her on Monday. Friday. Now Saturday, I buy her the dress. But see, here's what she should have done. Now, I know that's a make-believe story. My daughter wasn't like that, but that's what we do with God sometimes. See, we don't see it right away. So we pray again and ask again, and we ask again. And then we get kind of discouraged, and we try to make, you know, bargains with God. God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, you know, I'll go to church every Sunday. I used to pray prayers like that. I remember praying. God, I'll go to church every Sunday if you just help me out this time. Well, I'm in church every Sunday now. And more. But I love it. Okay, but this is what my daughter should have done. Dad, can you buy me a dress? Yeah, sure, honey. I'll buy you a dress on Saturday. So now it's Tuesday. She doesn't come back to me on Tuesday, but she's thinking, oh, well, one day closer to Saturday. Wednesday. Oh, yeah, getting a little closer to Saturday. Thursday. I'm just thinking, oh, wow, it's getting really close now. Now Friday, one more day. Thank you. And Saturday comes, and she's got her dress. See, that's exactly how faith works. We believe, we receive when we pray. So we don't have to keep asking. We receive it in faith. Now, Jesus already said, ask and you shall receive. But how are we asking? We're not begging. We're not asking that way. We're asking for something that belongs to us. And really, what you're doing is receiving. Now, Jesus said, believe you receive when you pray. See, present tense. And then you shall have, which is future tense. How long is that period of time before the manifestation comes? I don't know. It doesn't really matter, though, because you received it back here. So every day, you just continue to thank the Lord for it. Lord, I thank you for it. And just get happy about it and joyful that the manifestation is coming. But you have to receive. Now, the word receive means to take. Now, if I was going to give this little mini iPad away to this young man that helped me, and your name once again is
Sawyer.
Okay? I'm going to say, Sawyer, I'd like to give this to you. Okay. All right. Now, you see, I had it out there. I said, I'd like to give it to you. But he cannot have received it until he takes it. See, before you can say, I have received, you have to take. So now once he has taken it, he received it. Give me back my iPad. That was pretend. Yeah, and so once he's received it, now this being a young man, polite man, you know, I'm sure his parents are raising him right. If I did give this to you, what would you say to me?
Thank you.
Exactly. He would tell me thank you. See, he knows how to count, and he's also polite. So what do? Thank you, Lord. Amen. But it has to be based on a promise. Now let me give you one more quick demonstration, and then I'll bring this to a close. What if I was to say, I'm going to give this mini iPad to one of you. But the requirement is you have to pray in faith for this iPad. How many would like to have a mini iPad like this? Anybody like to have it? If I say, I'm going to give this away, I will do this. I will give this away today if you can pray in faith. Now, for those of you that would like to have this, bow your heads and pray to the Lord. Pray in faith if you want this iPad. I'll give you a couple seconds. Okay, time's up. How many of you prayed in faith for this? Anybody pray in faith? Okay, one person, two persons. Anybody else pray in faith? Well, here's the thing. I don't have to give it to either one of these people because they didn't pray in faith. You know why? Because they did not pray based on a promise in God's word. So you can only release faith for promises from God. Now, even if I promise to give that away, I could break my promise because I'm a man. See, there's no promise in the word for this specific iPad. Now, if you need an iPad or a computer, whatever you need, money, you can pray to God and ask God for it in faith. But you stand in faith and believe and continue to thank him for it. It has to be based on a promise. Amen? What are some of the promises? Well, he heals all our sicknesses. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And here is one of the ones I love more than anyone else, the words of Jesus. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. And that's in the context of giving financially. So get the promise. Ask in faith. Receive, believe you receive when you pray. In Jesus' name. Now, the young lady we prayed for, can you sense any difference in your throat?
Yes.
Stand up and tell us about it.
Well, I have to give a little background.
Okay. Come on up. Yes, absolutely. You're a woman.
Yes, exactly. Details, details. So I'm going to tell you all the details.
Yes, I'm glad. A teacher and a woman.
Yes, that's right. And so for about 3 weeks now, by about lunchtime at school, my throat is just killing me, and I'm losing my voice and having to struggle through the afternoon with the kids. And so when my husband and I, when I showed him the sores, we prayed, but I wasn't standing in faith. I'm just going to be honest. I'm somebody who has prayed, laid hands, seen the sick be healed, be miracles, but I just had learned to live with it. Mm-hmm. Very irritating, keeping me up at night. I couldn't sleep without a cough drop in my mouth. In fact, I think a couple nights ago, I finally said to myself, this is really getting old. Woke up this morning, had not thought, oh, I'm going to go get prayed for my throat to be. I just was living with it. Mm-hmm. So when you started to tell that, I'm like, Spirit's speaking to me. And so when you said, the reason I brought that up is because somebody heard, yep, that's me. And as soon as you prayed, there was a soothing.
Hallelujah.
Now I can swallow. It doesn't hurt.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for sharing all of that. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we have I've spoken your word concerning the promises of God, and your promises are all yes and amen. We shall receive. In Jesus' name. I believe the Lord wants me to do this also. Is there anybody here that has a problem in their back pain? Specifically back pain right now in your back? Okay. Anybody else? I want you to come up and I want to lay hands on you. Anybody that, this is specifically for back pain. Just kind of line up in front here, why don't you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Jesus is the healer. Amen? All you and I can do is lay hands on people. Hallelujah. I have seen a lot of backs healed in my ministry, and it's just the Lord that does it. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to lay my hands on you guys, and just like we were preaching today, you believe you receive. Just take that healing in Jesus' name. Well, let me ask you, what's wrong with your back? Did you injure it?
Yes, I injured it.
Doing what?
Swimming.
Swimming. Has it been a while? Or?
Been just by this last weekend.
Last weekend. And you got pain where? Right in the... Right there. Okay. In Jesus' name, be healed. I command his back to be healed, to become normal in Jesus' name. Amen. How about you?
I have a pulled muscle on the left side of my spine.
Okay. Pulled muscle. Look at me. That's Jesus. Easy for Jesus. Right? In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Be healed. Command that blood muscle to come back to normal now. In the name of Jesus. Hello. Have your condition for a while. Okay. Jesus. Yet just keeps putting pressure on the promise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Well, you heard the testimony of the young lady that got her throat healed, but anybody else have a throat problem? Nobody else?